Welcome to You Talking to Me, the radio show where your host, Big JD, talks to a different guest every week on a variety of subjects. That's the You Talking to Me show, and now here he is, your host, Big JD.
Hello and welcome to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, and today I'm going to welcome Kim Stempien to the show. Kim began her professional career in product development, sales, and marketing for major corporations such as Honeywell and AT&T, and currently she is the creator of her own popular and inspirational magazine, Precognito, available in U.S., Canada, and abroad. Inspired by the works of Edgar Cayce, she began developing her psychic abilities using her dreams. Through years of experiments, she learned that we all dream each other's dreams and have many predictive dreams as well. Currently, MW, who she also goes by, downloads much of the original content in Precognito magazine from the Akashic Records and is proud to bring much of Mary Magdalene's teachings that God is within forward using this resource. She earned her Bachelor of Science degree in engineering from Michigan State University and is currently pursuing master's studies in forensic psychology. And known for her highly detailed and accurate predictions, MW has been a featured psychic on VH1's 2003 Celebrity Special Rockstrology, Lifetime TV's America's Psychic Challenge, and has made numerous radio appearances across the U.S. Kim Stempien, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I guess we should start with the reason for the alias.
Well, I actually started a website in the year 2000 that was just my way of putting my feet to the fire in mm-hmm. making celebrity predictions and toying with a different content models on the internet. And I just, as a joke, I used the name Ms. Who, right? Because it sounded like very psychic-y, the kind of the cheesy psychic. And then I just learned that Stempien is always a tough name for many people to pronounce. And I said, well, I'm just going to use MW. I'm going to shorten Ms. Who to MW and just use that. And it certainly is a lot easier for me to sign when I do book signings and so forth. But it's a little bit hard to pronounce in its own way. But that's the progression of the name. And I'm also really, I'm not really shy about saying who I am, but I also like the anonymity. I'm not like, you know, I have this magazine, but the magazine is not about me. It's about, you know, this information, this universal information that I, along with many of my members, our online members, are helping to bring forward so that many people can use them to their advantage.
Then how long have you known about your psychic abilities? Has it been something that you've known about since childhood, or is it something that you developed? Or?
Well, I remember when I was little being so sensitive to other people and really saying to myself, I really wish I could read their minds. But at that time, I'm not like one of those kids who saw ghosts and things like that.
Right.
It wasn't until I was in my 30s that, you know, my engineering brain, I read a book on Edgar Cayce, and I thought, let me experiment with this dream stuff. And I learned that I could dream other people's dreams. In my dream journal, I could write down a question, will Ben Affleck and J-Lo get married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could see what would happen, what the true nature of that relationship was. You could actually dream from their perspective. And I do think we often dream our children's dreams, our spouse's dreams. We have predictive dreams, and then we have those symbolic dreams. So, mm-hmm. of course, in the magazine, I have a wonderful expert from Australia who has developed this concept called dream alchemy, and she provides all kinds of great information on how we can all use our dreams to create a better life for ourselves.
Sounds very interesting. Can you maybe discuss some of the difference between personal reading and actual predicting?
Are you talking about dreams, or are you talking about making predictions just in general?
I guess along the lines of generalization. Now, does it work completely different as far as dreams
are
concerned?
What I have learned over the years, I know that there are people out there who are empaths. They basically go out and they feel other people's emotions, and they kind of look and they gather information and they kind of piece, here's what I feel they're feeling,
mm-hmm.
and here's what I think my belief or my opinion about this is, and here's what I also see. Those are empaths, and to me, they're not true psychics. True psychics really are using the Akashic Records, and it's, and the ones that really can consciously use the Akashic Records to pull down information about any situation are really bringing forward the highest truth. And of course, you know, by the time that information gets down through our heads, we begin to relate it to personal experiences. So oftentimes the older we are, the more experience we have, we can pull down information and say, here's what I see, and here's what I think based on my own experiences. So we want to get ourselves out of the equation as much as possible. And you get better at that as you get older. So I'm not a big fan of empaths. I absolutely, positively encourage people not to use angels or so-called guides.
Oh, really?
I've seen these entities wreak havoc and actually sometimes take over their hosts, if you will.
Okay.
We don't know who they are. You don't need to use them. Go right to the Akashic Records.
Okay.
So... to answer your question, you can make any kind of prediction for yourself. Here's the path. If I do this, here is where I am likely to go.
Right.
And here is another choice. And here is why I keep making the wrong choices. And here is how I can change them.
And in mentioning the Akashic Records, can you tell us a little bit about what exactly the Akashic Records are? And are these records that can only be acknowledged from, you know, in the non-physical plane?
The Akashic Records is basically like a giant brain, if you will, the collective consciousness that we access through our brains and a very through our dreams. But it is actually kind of, if you actually looked at it, at first glance, it'll look like a giant brain that actually, and then your brain is like a local hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone can access it. I have members who used to rely on angels and ghosts. They've booted them out of their space. They just use the Akashic Records now. And there's a clarity and a truth to it. You can read it on the blogs. You can see when people... I have a conversation with one woman in Italy who was a big fan of The Secret, you know, and she used her angels and guides and fairies. And now she's like, I don't do any of that anymore. You were right. I can't believe the information that I can access. And here's exactly how you access it. Imagine a ball about the size of your skull, about exactly four feet above your head, and connect it to the top of your head or the top of your brain with an imaginary cord. Now you're plugged into the Akashic Records. Now, if you want to start doing predictions, and in the magazine and on the site, we have exercises, you know, to help people. Like we had an exercise that went out on my email newsletter about how to choose the best political candidate. And we look at it from multiple perspectives. So the first thing everyone does, connect to the Akashic Records. Imagine a small version of yourself going up through that cord to that the center of that ball, which is exactly 4 feet. Exactly 4 feet. For some reason, 4 feet is magic.
Okay.
And then when you're up there, imagine the ball unfurling, and you'll see a landscape around you. And what do you see?
I didn't know if you were asking or you're still telling.
Okay. Well, okay.
Because I'm up in this ball now. You got me up in the
Yeah, feet. I can see that you're doing it. And then what do you notice about the ball, first about the ball itself when you did that? What color?
I thought it was gray, actually.
Yeah, I get a little bit of blue as I look at your ball, too. You have color in your ball.
Maybe a little bit of blue, but...
Yeah, that's interesting. And as it unfurls, what do you see around you and what do you feel?
Well, when you mentioned landscape, I see, you know, some green hillish field type of thing, but I don't really see anything around me.
Okay, which is fine. And you know what? Everyone lands. I hear people that will land in a desert landscape, will land in a temple, will land in a farm. It's kind of different for everyone. I think there are 12 or 13 different guilds, and that will kind of impact where you land. And you can also land on the periphery and not actually have... you know, actually be right inside the records, and it does have to do a little bit with your core beliefs and things that are stored, but you can still access your book, and while you're there, we do a lot of stuff with the book, it's really fun, ask that your personal Akashic Records book be brought to you.
I see.
Okay, and imagine it in your hand, And first of all, do you notice if anyone brings it to you, and what does that person look like, or animal, or whatever? Is it short or tall?
Mine was a tall, slim man, I think, that sort of robe-ish or something.
Sometimes it's robes, yes.
Cloak on thin, or something.
Yes, a lot of people report tall, thin, wearing the robes. And then, interestingly enough, a lot of people have little midgets or gnomes, basically. Little elves.
He handed me the book open, by the way.
Oh, very good. ask him, let's see where he had you open the book.
It looked to me like it was about halfway. The pages looked, it was a thick book, hardcover. Okay. There looked like text of thick, dark writing, almost like a scribble, and white pages.
Right. And now one thing that's interesting about the book is it's very hard to actually read the text.
Yeah, I can't make anything out in it.
Don't even try. Okay. And what you can do is just, if you want to ask questions about that section of the book, see, I'm going back to your father and I'm getting the age of 13. Is something that in that section of the book we kind of need to look at.
Wow.
But allow your mind to wander, and you can ask for a little movie screen to come up in front of you, mm-hmm. and say, show me what I'm actually looking at, and then why do I need to look at it?
You know, it's funny. I just envisioned somebody handing my father a book at that time.
Interesting.
But my father also had a bar mitzvah at 13 and maybe would have been handled prayer books from his father, who was a rabbi. I don't know. Pretty neat.
Okay. All right. Well, let's ask your father to come forward. And just imagine him coming alongside you. And he's coming forward as a little boy, isn't he?
Yes, he is, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, you see him? Was he a little bit on the round side?
Yes, he was.
Okay, here he is. He's coming forward with his little book. Uh-huh. He says, I've got a little book, and you have a big book. But, okay, so now what you can do, and this is a sample of an exercise, and there really are endless, and you can ask family members to come forward. And I'm psychic, so I'm kind of looking over your shoulder, observing the scene.
Good, because I'd probably be terrified
validation.
If you weren't here.
So we're going to ask that any and karmic relationships, let's talk about karmic relationships here in a moment, mm-hmm. any... We'll call it karma, and karma is not what most people think karma is. We're going to ask that the pages in your book and the pages in his book that have to do with karmic relationships that do not simply serve your relationship or serve either of your souls, mm-hmm. be removed. And what's interesting, do you notice his whole book is gone?
I don't
see it. Someone took his whole book. Yeah. They're handing him a big book now, right?
Okay.
You notice? Okay. And mm-hmm. he got a little bit older. Okay.
I think he is. Okay.
Go and get a little bit taller, I notice. Okay. And so now we're going to ask, they handed him a different book. So now he's going to open, we're going to ask that he open his book, mm-hmm. and you open your book and pay attention to your book. Notice how many pages have to do with these karmic relationships between you and your father, and we will look at other family members that do not serve either of your soul. We're going to resolve them, remove the pages, take them out, replace pages, if that makes sense. Just ask that this be done and pay attention to what happens. And what do you see?
I don't see his book changing. His book is larger and thin.
Right. His book got really large and thin. It's less than an inch thick,
I noticed. Mine seems a little more confusing.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
You know what's happened is the book you were looking out of, I saw zipped up. And you got rid of it, and I think you're a little confused because there was another book and there's a few books here, right?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm seeing things look multiple now, I guess.
yes, exactly. And it's different for everyone. It's really fascinating, this process. And as a psychic, once again, I look over people's shoulder, and we'll be seeing the same thing, sometimes represented slightly different, right? But, you know, it's kind of cool. So now we're going to ask that all of those books be consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
And let's ask that book be, we'll just call it a...
my book?
Your book.
I think it's gotten a little smaller. I see loose pages, so
okay.
I don't know.
Collect them up, collect them all together, and hold them in your hand, and you're just between your two hands. You're going to ask that pages that do not serve your soul, any core beliefs, any oaths, commitments, vows, grudges, prejudices, resentments, you know, guilt is one thing I'm getting for you. Guilt, guilt, guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Any guilt, remove. You're going to ask that those pages be removed, resolved. And if there's a replacement page or if there's an upgrade to the book,
I don't feel like I'm left with many pages.
And you know what? Ideally, the perfect Akashic Records book should actually have no pages in it.
Okay.
It should be a complete blank book.
I feel like I'm left with some loose pages and that's it.
Okay. All right, go ahead. What else do you see?
I don't think I see anything else.
Okay. So this is a process of upgrading your book. And if you see the loose pages, collect them together.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm getting with the loose pages is it's something that you might need a little time to digest and make a decision over. Right? So use your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get information. And this will be your little task. Pay attention to your dreams and the psychic thoughts that come to you throughout the day. What are these pages that you're still deciding over? And once you decide, I think you're going to throw these pages away.
That'd be nice because there's a lot of pages that I'm dealing with in the past few weeks, actually.
Okay, all right. Does that make sense that you're seeing this imagery of all these different books, feelings of confusion?
Yep, and putting it in that context, it makes a lot of sense.
And that your father came forward, he has this religious doctrine from when he was very young, and he needed to resolve that as well. Now, karma is not exactly like we think karma is. It's mm-hmm. actually like these emotional entanglements, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and entanglements of other people's beliefs into our own. And our lives, in a sense, become tied in theirs and are not truly our own. So in upgrading your book and cleaning it out, ideally you want a life where you're writing each page as you go along and it's completely you. No one else is putting stuff into your book. It's you. So by doing this upgrade, we're cleaning out that book, cleaning out quote-unquote karma,
mm-hmm.
which is not really karma in the what goes around comes around, although it kind of does stay in your book, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you consciously remove it.
I see.
Very simple.
Very interesting.
That's how easy the Akashic Records is.
Wow. So the Akashic Records aren't actually a written set of books or anything like that you would actually, that it's not the same for everybody.
Yeah, it isn't. Although I find this upgrade is the same for everybody. It is about getting rid of a lot of crap.
Yeah.
And you know, it's interesting, the people who go, they take all the classes on The Secret, they take all the classes on this thing, I took my angel therapy, I took my whatever,
mm-hmm.
they end up with these really complicated books that they don't really need.
Mm-hmm.
They just need the truth of themselves.
And what about an important question, I would think, probably for a lot of people, the people that can't picture, people that can't see anything, is there something that you would
recommend? I have rarely found that. And when I work individually with people,
mm-hmm.
I have found that they just second guess themselves. See, it's so easy that it can't be that easy.
Yeah.
But I can, you know, like seeing these things come forward that the other person is also seeing the odds of it are, I mean, that I could be seeing what you're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And I could describe, you know, I oftentimes will have people hold their book in their hand and I'll describe it right along with them. They're like, yeah, that's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes they may be looking through a fog. And as we do work with their book, if we, you know, there are all kinds of different things in the magazine, soul retrievals and things like that, the picture will become clear,
mm-hmm.
like a veil is lifted. They're like, okay, now I can see what you saw in the beginning, MW.
Although I probably not, I suppose, asked a lot of people if they can actually picture, but I know my mother apparently can't do that, but I had mentioned to you pre-show about the Silva Ultramind, the ESP method that
uh-huh.
I actually went and took the course, and there was a particular person in that class that could never picture anything through the whole, you know, weekend seminar. He never did picture anything. And
well,
I just found it really odd.
Yeah, the thing that I noticed, because I do look at people's brains too, and we had talked about this before the show, and I could see I think that Silva tool really wired up your left side of your brain for you, and I can see activity there. It's much more organized. And with this particular person, I am seeing just a real disorganization in their thought patterns.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, right now, with what's going on, we're just beginning to learn about the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, just as we have physical genetic malfunctions,
mm-hmm.
I think the brain can also malfunction as well. And
well,
in this person's case, I just see like cloudiness and just not, an organized way of thinking.
Yep, and since you mentioned that, I will say that the person did seem unorganized. He had come just recently to this country to find work and, you know, obviously was at the Silva Method to organize his life, I suppose, and it makes perfect sense that you would say that.
Yeah, I think the thing I like about Silva, and I've never tried the product, but psychically I can watch movies and I can look at, I always go up to the Akashic Records and ask the truth about things, and there are some things that I'm very surprised. I'm like, wow, you know, they really, I can see it really works. And Silva was one of those that I've looked at. I looked at the concept, and it really does, the program gets you right towards the front of the brain, the front in the middle between the right and the left lobe, which is a very, obviously it's a psychic center, right? So it really, from what I'm seeing, it will really help this particular person use their third eye. Yep. And I think the thinking will slowly organize from back of the back of the head towards the frontal lobe. Mm-hmm. That's what I see in his particular case.
Do you think that,
so bravo to Silva.
Do you think that everyone has psychic abilities?
Everyone, hands down. Gotta use it. Gotta use it to your advantage, and it is not evil. The Akashic Records, you cannot access information in the Akashic Records if you're a jerk. Mm-hmm. I was going to say another word.
Okay.
You can't. If you, I mean, there is such thing as a heart of darkness. There are people in this world who, their heart chakra is so shut down, they don't care about other people. They care about themselves. And in the brain, and we started to talk a little bit about this, there's this a real epidemic of narcissism in the United States. And I see this with Barack Obama. Of course, I look at all the presidents' brains, who's using their whole brain, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama is a narcissist, which means great exterior, right? You know, and learned from a very young age how to say the right thing and how to impress people, how to look, how to sound.
Right.
That's using kind of that outer gray area of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like all fluff, right? No substance. So there's not a lot of brain activity on the right or left side. I can see his brain stopping right around the age of 8, and this is when he went into this narcissist mode. He learned right around the age of 8, I'm charming, this is working for me, I'm going to spend the rest of my life mastering this and using it to my advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Those are narcissists. They don't care about other people. And it appeals to this country, this world in general. We have a celebrity culture. It is about how you look, not how to use your brain. And your brain develops when you have experiences in life, sometimes very hard experiences. But you got to get out there, you got to do the work. That's how your brain develops. And as that brain develops to the frontal lobe, it brings forth spiritual development, it brings forth your psychic development, and the ability to really be successful in life.
Now, in reading for other people, do you do that regularly still, like all the time? Or
I do. Actually, I occasionally post the link on precognito.com.
Okay. Because I did see something there to the effect that maybe you weren't reading right now.
The link is up on there. There is a reading link. Sometimes I don't have it up if I get too busy because I have two businesses and a magazine, which is really growing.
Right, and we're going to get into that magazine very shortly. As far as the reading, though, was that a natural progression for you to get into reading, you know, for other people?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I learned that you really, it is the best way to learn. And every time I've done something where I've programmed it, every time I work with somebody, I just learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize you can't do stuff, you know, in a vacuum. You really have to get out and work with people. And I really love it when I'm talking to people.
Do you bring in, you know, past life regression or anything like that into... You know, when you're talking about the Akashic Records, it seems like some of it you get into the past or the person's past or some of the clutter, that kind of thing. Does past life regression fit into this somehow? Is it?
I don't think you really need to regress that far back. I think, I've asked the Akashic Records about this before. I think it's only like one or two generations you really need to be concerned about. But I do a soul retrieval, which we can talk about at some point, which pulls back your soul fragments from past life, and it's a super, super short cut. that. However, I do have situations where in some, if people are really struggling, I ask, why are they struggling? And sometimes mm-hmm. the Akashic Record says, here, there's some past life stuff, so, you know, you go in that direction. I'm not trained in past life regressions, and I know there are people out there that do that, and mm-hmm. I think it's a very, very valuable resource. What I do, I don't always require that I use it. If it pops up, it pops up, especially with phobias and things like that.
I'd like to talk a little bit about, you know, the psychic world and possibly beyond, with maybe kind of getting your view or your take on some different subjects.
Ask the records right on the spot. We'll see what they say. So okay. Pose any question, and I'll, I always love just putting it out there and seeing what, you know, responses the records get back. It's a great resource, and boy, is it an eye-opener.
Okay, so we'll get your view on some different things. Premonitions and hunches. What do you think about those?
Yes, well, we're just hardwired. Mm-hmm. Our higher self is like, I use the analogy of our higher self or soul, mm-hmm. Which is different from the Akashic Records, but it's part of our personal system, our personal universe. You can access it and look at it. It's as a ball exactly 14 feet above your head. Mm-hmm. And it is directly connected to your heart chakra. So your heart is the seat of the soul. So your heart is like another brain. Mm-hmm. You've got your brain, which connects to the Akashic Records. And then you have your heart, which is the direct connect to your higher self. So your higher self is up there, above, you know, really kind of plugged into this earth matrix. And it's like an eagle on a cliff. Mm-hmm. Looking at the realm of all possibilities. And so if your intuition, if you're getting a premonition, if I drive somewhere, I'm going to get into a car accident. Mm-hmm. Your higher self is up there saying, I'm going to try to tell you any way that you can not to do that, because there's another path over here. I want you to live for another 52 years. Mm-hmm. You know, so trust your instincts. It's when right. we don't, we talk ourselves out of it. We've just, you know, counteracted the biggest resource, our higher self. Who basically is the messenger of God, right? Where our mm-hmm. our souls are made in the image of God. They're little gods.
Okay.
They're up there like, hello, you're being an idiot. Why are you with this guy that you keep telling yourself is your soulmate? He's fooling around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to feed it to you in dreams.
Yeah, that's another thing I'd like to get into a little bit down the line here is, you know, what a lot of your clients want to know about.
Oh, yes. you can imagine the obvious questions.
Oh, sure. Just mentioned a couple. Coincidence and synchronicities, the two?
Well, let me take a look at it. I had a contributor who gave me a really great, great articles on synchronicity and allowing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think if you are on your highest and best path, and by removing a lot of these core beliefs and things that we did with your book, we could probably do this visualization for you here in a moment, you get centered on your path.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of being pulled off to either side, and mm-hmm. which these karmic cords, you know, mom and dad are the worst culprits, and of course we repeat it with our own children, they'll pull you to one side. Because basically you're adopting their beliefs, not listening to that heart, that little brain in there that's trying to lead you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's taking signals from your higher self. We were talking about synchronicity. I think when you're on your path, you're going to find more synchronistic events. But to me, synchronicity also, and this just came to mind, I don't feel synchronicity because it isn't a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, life just is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, synchronicity is just like this feeling of surprise or this gentle reminder you need to kind of get back on your path. But once you're on your path, you're like, you know, life isn't easy and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you have faith and you're trusting your psychic and intuitive instincts. I know this is going to work out okay for me. I don't feel synchronicity, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, what I was getting, as I was talking, it's a feeling of surprise,
mm-hmm.
in a sense.
Animal communication.
Oh, I do it all day long.
Okay.
I love it. and some animals won't talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Some animals have no respect for humans. Of course, there are wild animals as well,
mm-hmm.
And they don't quite understand. But cats will throw out complete sentences.
Really?
And my dog says, you know, I can look, he can look at me and communicate. So he gets lazy with the telepathic.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to listen to animals, it's a little different. I literally imagine a conversation coming telepathically out of my third eye into them. And I imagine little brain waves coming back and ask them questions. Cats, in many cases, if they're communicative, will show you very clear pictures or communicate in full sentences. Mm-hmm. Other animals will show you pictures. So just practice.
Wow. And what I've usually seen on animal communication, it always seems that the person that's communicating with the animal, you know, if it's somebody on TV or whatnot, they're saying, you know, your cat doesn't like the type of litter that's in his thing and he'd like you to change it, or the your cat this or your dog that. But they never seem to give the animal something back from the person. I never really seem to have seen it the other way. You know, it's always, you know, your dog doesn't want to be thrown out of the house in the morning, you know, to make his round around the yard or whatever. But they've never say, I'm telling your animal this from you that you need him to do, or, you know, I've never seen it the other way. So
it is an open dialogue.
It is.
And oftentimes, it really is dependent on the animal. With my cats, I started working on them when they were young. When they were young, they didn't know how to communicate. So I was patient. I knew it wasn't going to happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And now they'll send me pictures or whatever, you know. I'm in the magazine, I'm doing an article. I have a section on living archangels. Mm-hmm. And I have, I'm working on Animals Asia, who rescues the bear bile, you know, the bears over there, mm-hmm. who have bile extracted from them. Awful, awful. Terrible, terrible. But they also rescue cats and dogs that the Chinese still eat, by the way.
Yes.
And they kill for fur, and they lie about it. Mm-hmm. You know, you buy something that says this is man-made. It's animal fur. I can look at that. I can look at little stuffed tchotchkes. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's like a real cat looking back at me. I know that was made from a real cat.
Right.
But I had one woman over there send me an email, and she's like, if you don't mind, I just rescued this street cat. And I just don't even think that he's ever going to, you know, I don't know, he's in my house. He just is crazy, right?
Right.
So, of course, I check, you know, is this animal, does it have potential? And I showed the animal pictures, because I really realized from the pictures the animal showed me, it had never known human touch. It only knew humans by legs walking indifferently past it.
I see.
And it hadn't been hurt other than through neglect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it had lost sight and stuff. And I told the woman, first of all, she mentioned the sight, so I looked through, imagine looking through its eyes out, which anyone can do with their own animals. Just imagine themselves in the animal looking out.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing I said is, be aware that this animal has less sight than you imagine. And the next thing that I did, and I haven't heard back from her, I just sent this off a couple days ago, and she's in Hong Kong, they're busy rescuing, I think they rescued 30 bears or so.
Mm-hmm.
I showed the cat, I sent it a series of pictures. I said, here's how I take care of my cat. Is this something that you would like? Oh, let me think about it. I kept sending it pictures. On this cat, I do this. This cat likes to be held this way. And then we like to do that. And then I asked it if I'd like to use the litter box. And it seemed like it was okay. It didn't quite know what to do. And I said, well, here's how you use the litter box.
Mm-hmm.
And through this conversation, seeing what, asking it, seeing the pictures that it was throwing towards me, sharing my world, I said, okay, I have never known that's how humans are. Now I know that, and I said, there are certain people, humans are like this, and they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
They're really great to set up household. Would you still like to live in this house with her? Absolutely. And he showed me pictures of him sitting on her lap. He said, I'll start by laying next to her, and then I'll let her touch me, and then I will really enjoy living on her lap.
Wow.
But I will really like having another kitten.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can converse that way. Share pictures.
Right.
Here's what I think. What I like is just something that you like. And then imagine them in that situation, and then they'll start sending pictures back.
Mm-hmm.
But open up that channel, right?
Right. Time travel and parallel universes sometimes seem to be tied together. Sometimes we hear stories about them, and time traveling, you're maybe entering a parallel universe. Which, do you have some kind of take on time travel or parallel universes, either together or separate?
Well, there are lots of different takes on it. First of all, I do want to say that our seven chakra system isn't our complete system. We've got, I think we've... how many do we have? We have at least, I mean, I'm talking primary chakras, because mm-hmm. I also believe the hands and the feet and are chakras, and then you have chakras around your ears and
so forth. Okay.
But primary in the way that we think of, I think there are at least 10. And so we've got some chakras off in a couple other places. Someone asked me also, is it possible to live to 1,000 years old? Mm-hmm. And I work with the Gaia consciousness, which is slightly different than God. Mm-hmm. It's like this unfolding energy, and it's almost like it wraps our galaxy. And I asked her, and it is very feminine, she says she's a she, and she makes our physical bodies. And I asked her, as earthlings, can we live to 1,000 years old? And she said, no, only 300 here, but there are different aspects of you. If you want, you can develop this other you to live to 1,000. So you're both kind of living simultaneously. Now, I haven't really investigated it, and I can't really contribute more than this for this show, mm-hmm. But I think there are many different aspects to this, and let me ask the question, though, can we literally travel out of our bodies? There is a way, they're saying, you can kind of just park your body, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I think there is another dimension where we are literally living into this other self. See, I think Gaia, actually there are three Earths, in a sense. There's Earth. Mm-hmm. There's a more dense Earth. And then there's a less dense Earth. And I think they may have kind of mythically been represented as Lemuria and Atlantis, with mm-hmm. Atlantis being the more dense and Lemuria being the lighter, dreamier. I think they're all governed by Artemis or Mother Earth. She says her name is Artemis, but we go by Gaia, of course, here. Gaia is the big trend now.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go. Long answer to a short question.
What I'd like to get into now is what clients want to know. Talk a little bit about that before we get into, you know, your magazine. You know, when clients contact you and they want to know something about their dreams or what the future holds or about stress, career, money, those kinds of things, what do you find that, you know, is there something that usually pops up the most, or they want to know about everything? And
well, I mean, obviously right now, career and money, and a lot of people have serious financial worries. And unfortunately, in some cases, I go up and I try to look for alternatives for them, but if you've gotten yourself wrapped in a lot of debt and you're facing foreclosure, yeah, sometimes they just look for miracles and I cannot deliver them. And I do really try mm-hmm. to find alternatives. And sometimes it's better to say, okay, let's just take this as a lesson. Now let me tell you, if you do have to go into foreclosure, if you do have to go live with your mother for a while, let's look at there still is potential there. So most people, and I'm very honest with them, but there is never a situation where there isn't a life beyond.
Mm-hmm.
Always face those fears. Always face that worst situation head on. Do what you can. But if you really are holding on to something, when you need to let go, you need to let go. And I think that's where a psychic comes in handy.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing people do ask about is relationships. And I have a little technique where I look to see if the relationship that they're in is well-balanced, mm-hmm. if both parties are in it. It doesn't mean they're soulmates, because, of course, you know, I wrote a book called There Are No Soulmates, Give It Up, Get On With Your Life.
Oh, yeah.
There isn't one perfect person. There are many different life partners. Mm-hmm. And constructing a mutually agreeable future, trying to get that to match, this can be a very difficult thing, but it is possible. So relationships, they ask about children, of course, money and investments and things. I've had people ask about financial investments or mm-hmm. business investments. I'm choosing between two business opportunities, and I have techniques that I really break things down very quickly and can give them time frames, whether they're going to lose money, whether it's a closed door of opportunity, and so forth.
What about stocks and things? They ask you about the stocks, the stock market. What is there something I should buy? Do you see that kind of thing? Or, you know?
Well, I like to, what I've learned with personal investment, first of all, I cannot give investment advice. I'm not a registered investment advisor,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and nor will I tell them who I think is going to win the Super Bowl, and I do predict the two top teams every single year.
Oh, yeah.
But, and I'm good. I pick the uniform colors, and then my family and I go through kind of the variations on it. It's a fun little thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is I look at where they're comfortable, what they like doing, and we break it down. Well, I kind of imagine, you know, one way to break it down, let's look at an investment opportunity. Picture it as a box on the center of your path. You see your path extending out to your future. Mm-hmm. Try to push that box forward and say, this is a business opportunity. Can you push the box forward? Does the box grow in size, or does the box disappear? Does it dissolve? Does it fall off the path? Does it, you know, burst into flame? You know, those types of things. Mm-hmm. We'll break it down and look at alternatives. The hardest thing, because I really do come from a place where you can construct pretty much anything that you want using your natural born talents. I come from a place where I rarely get, like, you're supposed to be the president of the United States. Mm-hmm. Although sometimes that does happen. Mm-hmm. Although I have not actually done any predictions for Hillary Clinton. I'm not saying that. But, you know what I mean? So it really, a career is kind of a tough one, but I can, and especially if people are really off of their paths, mm-hmm. which many people are, to me it's like, you know, walking through the fog. Because I'm just as foggy as they are. I try to shift them back using right. these Akashic Records exercises and soul retrieval exercises. Get them back to their, on their path. And their path, not mommy and daddy's path, but their path.
Do you use your dreams to help others? When you're reading for somebody, I guess it's kind of in the moment. I've seen to the effect that if somebody wanted you to do a reading that they didn't use their whole time, they would use some of that time later with you again, right?
Well, I'll tell you, every time I do a reading with someone, yeah. if it's a half an hour reading, it ends up being an hour and a half.
Right.
So it's never the case.
Or a 40-minute interview turns into 2 hours.
Yes, exactly. 3 hours, we were talking about that before. Yeah. I don't dream other people's dreams, but if they do have dreams, I can help them interpret. People, okay, that's one of the most popular blogs that we do is dreams and also, you know, mediumship.
A lot of it's people asking what their dreams mean.
Yes.
Because what I was kind of getting at was the fact that if somebody, say, wanted to have an hour reading done, used half of it or something like that, and maybe it wasn't finished or something when you were done the reading, would you look to your dreams for something for them, you know, before the next time you would speak to them?
I actually don't. Okay. And let me tell you a story really quick about keeping a wide open channel in your dreams.
Uh-huh.
I was doing, like, serial killer stuff years ago, and when you have a wide open channel, you get some really awful dreams, like the show of the medium. You really do have people. I had one woman, she told me, a beautiful young girl, and this is in a dream. Mm-hmm. She said she was from Boston, dressed in her nice suit, and I saw someone get her into a car, take her away, murder her, and chop her up. And then the woman walked up to me and said, hey, held up a big clear plastic bag, said, look, these are all my body parts. Can you help me? Mm-hmm. I'm like, number one, there's no way for me to trace who this case is. And I got names, I got descriptions of the person who kidnapped and killed her.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find her is like a needle in a haystack. And that's why a lot of people ask me, you know, like, do you walk and are you constantly predicting? No. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just too much information. You've got to really kind of streamline it. So I don't keep an open channel in my dreams because I'm tired of people walking up to me showing me their dead body parts.
Right. I get a little tired.
Yeah, but you know what? It doesn't bother you after you see it. You really face your worst fears.
Right.
And you see awful, awful, awful things. And you're like, okay, thank you for sharing.
Well, I'd imagine when you see things like that or see the things that you have seen, it changes you and your beliefs. Whereas somebody, I mean, if they, you know, somebody has a nightmare and it frightens them, or somebody has some kind of an OBE that they, you know, unexpectedly never done it before. But, you know, the people that hone in on their abilities and practice these things and learn how to do it, how to induce it, how to do these different things, it's not scary anymore. You know, it's,
yes,
you get
absolutely
used to it.
I'm just so not scared. I see my future. I trust what I see for myself as well. And I met with a man years ago who, he didn't know that I suspected him of being a serial killer. I think he and his brother and a couple of their friends killed 30 to 40 people and were never caught. And I tracked him down, and under the guise of interviewing him about his brother, who at one point in time was a suspect in the Green River Killer case. Now, mind you, the man that they have in on that, and they've kind of pinned all these murders on, he did not commit all those murders. But oh. The police have so much pressure from the public to close these cases. Mm-hmm. So it's better for them to say, we've got him. There could not be anyone else out
right.
there. And this guy is alive. All of his accomplices have since died because they were drug users mm-hmm. and, you know, alcoholism and cancer, which I find interesting. But he was alive. And I stood in the dark with him while he mm-hmm. smoked a cigarette. I rode in the car with him. But he just wanted to tell me the story of his brother. And I really wanted to say, I can see you killing these people, not only in Washington, but also Texas and Connecticut.
Was this physically you were with this person?
Physically,
or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, my mother was so worried. I'm like, trust me, I know when I die, I die of pneumonia, so it's not here.
Okay.
Not now.
Maybe we should get into Precognito.
Okay.
Let's discuss the magazine, maybe the company behind it, and whatever brought the magazine into production.
I actually don't even remember the exact shift from online. And I had been doing online, and I started with my celebrity prediction site called The Sixth Search. And then mm-hmm. I said, I just can't stand this celebrity stuff. Oh, my gosh, I really want to be helping people.
Right.
And that turned into Precognito, a whole complicated series of events. And I've, got to the point where I said, this really should be a print magazine. And I could see it doing very well. And here I am. And mind you, I knew that I would encounter, I went from making a lot of money when I lived in California.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I was walking my dog one day. I said, oh my gosh, my business is going to take a serious downturn. I need to sell my house. I need to downsize. I did it. I need to sell this house before the economy turns, because of course I was tracking psychically in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I did it. I sold my house, made money, still lost money in my business, and started my magazine when I didn't really have any money. It was my second business I started mm-hmm. in the red. But I knew that if I could just get through it, it was about learning, it was about faith, working on the product, which I did. And here I am. Now moving less than a year, moving towards profitability with that.
Fantastic.
And of course my other business picked up, it just like everything conspired to push me out of necessity. I said, I've got to start get this business. I need the ad revenue. I need, mm-hmm. To know that I've got this business going. And now I have two businesses.
Fantastic.
My other business, college911.com, which has mm-hmm. been a nice cash cow, but for some reason just tanked. And then pop back. Boom. Okay, we got you to start the magazine, so there you go.
Tell us a little bit about College 901. What is it?
I generate leads for colleges and, mm-hmm. and career colleges especially. And I just love it. It's a great recession-proof business. And I love, it was one of the jobs that I had when I was working for other companies and I lived in California. I worked with American Intercontinental University and I saw them go towards this online model and also career colleges, training people very quickly with accredited degrees, get in, get out, get a better career and start making more money.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love it. It's a product that I believe in, and I take classes as well through the various schools. And really just, I can't believe how much I've learned, and I can't believe that I can take, get a master's in international conflict resolution, which is something that I'm looking at, because I mm-hmm. really want to go international consulting. I love profiling.
Uh-huh.
So, and also doing research on the brain and so forth. So I just think it's great, and, you can just request information from various colleges based on the, career path you'd like.
Sure. And visiting your site, they could actually go. Is it college911.com?
College911.com mm-hmm. is my company, and that is my nice little cash cow that helps me finance my magazine business. But the magazine now is, I've had major advertisers calling me.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and the advertisers really being able to pick and choose with the ones that are in alignment with the magazine, because we're going all recycled paper with the fall issue,
mm-hmm.
and I'm developing some kind of interactive models using the print magazine as a guide to additional tools and services online.
Uh-huh.
Really making it, if you do those meditations in the magazines, and then we'll have some animations and thing eventually online for kind kind of our hybrid subscribers. You'll really supercharge. You get in better health, get your, you know, get in alignment with the Gaia consciousness. Use the Akashic records to your advantage. Get yourself out of situations. Create a really interesting future for yourself.
And when did the magazine start?
The online version started, I would say, in 2004. I kind of lose track, and then there was a predecessor to it, and I merged them. The first print issue came out last August, and it's been growing. I think our print run for this fall is going to be pretty sizable. I'm very, to me, it's pretty amazing. And it's very expensive to print magazines, as you can imagine. And it's but everyone who works for me are all like freelancers from the United States to India.
Okay, that was my next question. You know, regular articles, contributors, that kind of thing. Do you have some regulars that do work?
I just hired a regular, like, freelance writer. And he actually is, by the way, a ghostwriter for a lot of those secret law of attraction sites.
Oh, yeah.
And he has a degree in natural health, a master's in psychology, a PhD in sociology. And we both freak out about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it just goes, it doesn't, these people are going to end up, you're going to be pulled so far off your path. There is no law of attraction, people. I've never seen it. I've asked the Akashic Records. There's no law of attraction. And you, but your higher self has some great powers. It's up there working for you. You've got to talk to it. But you're not attracting stuff to you. You're looking. And there are many possibilities. But as a psychic, I tend to be able to see the one that's the highest probability at any given time for someone.
So how do you feel the web actually worked for you? As far as moving to the magazine itself,
I think the magazine is going to be a secondary product to the web.
Yeah.
I hope my cat is not making too much noise in the background. She bursts into song occasionally.
Okay.
But I think the web has, for what I want to do, is which really create a community of like precogs, right? You remember that movie with Tom Cruise and the precogs? You know, they were making. They were kind of looking at the truth of situations.
Right.
And I hope to create a nice community of people who really step outside themselves, step outside the rhetoric, the commercials, the political rhetoric, and look at the truth and say, this is the best decision for us individually and us as a country or us as a, you know, world nation. And we need to be concerned about what's going on. And we can see, is going to war a good idea? Sometimes, yes. Is pulling out of Iraq hastily a good idea? Not so good. Going to split that country right in half.
Right.
So let's not put political pressure on people. You know, let's say Obama gets elected, which I don't think he will. God forbid. But these things are always possibilities.
So it's Hillary you're saying.
What's that?
So it's Hillary you're saying.
I think so. I think so. I've seen that. And I think what's going to happen next month, I think I kind of, if I place myself in Obama's body, he's riding high right now. But they are really trying to cover up his Muslim extremist views. You've got some extremist connections there in the so-called Christian church. It's not a Christian church. He's and that, and then he has an affair, and then he just really has no beef. This man is a bull in a china shop. And I'm buying some more property in Italy, and I emailed my woman over there. I said, let's just get this transaction done, because the euro is going to increase, the value of the euro is going to go way up this fall. And it's going to get even worse over time. The dollar will not come back if someone like Obama comes in. I said, I'm frightened. I'm going to leverage, you know, get my money over to Europe, quite frankly. I hate to scare people, but we need to make some wise decisions, people.
Sure. Yeah, you probably have some personal favorite stories maybe from some of your contributors in the magazine, what you've put out so far. Is there anything that's outstanding that you looked at some an article or story that was going to print in one of the magazines and just thought, wow, this is just great, or it's amazing, or, you know?
You know, that's a really great question. Oh, my gosh, I'm really racking my brain here. There's so much content, in especially in the most recent issue.
And when it's your own magazine, it's probably like, wow, they're all great.
Well, so. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I think to me, I'm like, I know that there are things that you would look at in that magazine, and here, try this visualization. I know that will shift you, mm-hmm. but it's made so simple. Someone said, like in the first issue, what I did is created this little, actually my writer, John, went back to the old issues, and the original issue I had a little visualization where I challenged people. Mm-hmm. Does like attract like? This law of attraction, that's a fundamental premise, right? Like mm-hmm. attracts like. Does it really work? And I had them do a visualization mm-hmm. using balls. And he really loved that. And I had actually taken that concept, and I have an article which someone said, oh, you can't put that in the magazine. And the premise being, using the same kind of visualization sequence, if we allow people to be tortured, who does it really hurt? If you do the visualization, which is ridiculously simple, you'll see, by allowing people to be tortured, we sacrifice our own spiritual ascension. Mm-hmm. I hear everyone's running around, right? I want to be around people who are like me, la, 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 right? Uh-huh. First of all, it doesn't work that way. Like doesn't attract like. Secondly, by just focusing on the positive, not facing with courage mm-hmm. and determination, not facing some of the worst things that are going on right now, like torture. It needs to stop. It's hurting all of us.
Right.
I can go into the minds of every one of those people in captivity. I can tell you exactly what they know and what they don't know mm-hmm. without hurting them.
Yeah.
It needs to stop. By allowing other people to suffer, we suffer too. Period. And so I can't wait to print that. Mm-hmm. Especially since someone, I remember this person who thinks he's like this big spiritual leader, said, oh, you can't print that. It's negative, right? Guess who's going to print it? Me.
Yeah. Well, if you really look
challenge,
at
the, I'm gonna print it.
If you look at the big picture, I don't think it is negative. It's positive. We're trying to make something positive out of something that is negative, rather, I would think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really fighting for what's right is something that is going to come up in the December, January, and or the November, December, and January, February issues. We're going to switch back. We switched briefly to quarterly and then back to mm-hmm. bi-monthly at the end of this year. Fighting for what's right, learning, using the Akashic Records. When do you fight? You need to fight. That's part of being what we call living archangels. Mm-hmm. And in each issue, I think one of my favorite pieces is the interviews with people like Howard Schiffer coming out in the summer issue. Mm-hmm. Founded Vitamin Angels. And he talks about exactly what it took him to start an organization, how people can help, and it's enjoyable, it's interesting, and you save people's lives, and you don't need to drive a big fancy car. Mm-hmm. You don't need to worry if your house is in foreclosure. This is what being human is all about. You are doing God's work, and you don't need to sacrifice much. You can save a life with $5 to $10.
Mm-hmm.
I love those things, and I can't wait for Jill Robinson with Animals Asia to, you know, she trying to get her to, you know, be interviewed. I send off the questions to Hong Kong, and very modest. I mean, these people are not like celebrities. They're like, this is just what we do, and we want the attention for the organization and for the, you know, people or animals we benefit them not for ourselves. And I think if we were all like that, life would be very good.
In putting out your magazine, obviously the magazine itself, I would think is a personal triumph, but any perils or other triumphs that you came across or overcame in putting out the magazine?
Everything.
Yeah.
Not knowing anything about the magazine industry and really figuring it out. And then I was recently interviewed by a magazine industry portal, and I got a great review. Not, you know, he just, we were talking about where I think magazines will be going. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some innovation there, which I'm very proud of. I'm anxious to experiment with it.
And now that you mentioned that,
communities.
Yeah. I hadn't thought of what's the future of the magazine, especially with the computer now. You know, you don't think of what's going to happen with magazines. They're all still the same. Maybe they start adding pop-ups in them all or
There's software where you can actually just pop up your screen, and then you can flip through the pages, and they flip just like regular pages.
Right.
And you can click on ads, and then you can also animate ads.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's almost like, okay, combining old and new versus coming up with something entirely new. But I have to say, you know, I'm first and foremost a salesperson, so mm-hmm. when my advertisers are saying, hey, I'll buy web traffic from you all day long.
Mm-hmm.
How many hits are you getting? When the advertisers are saying that, you're like, I love the web because I can just click one button and in 5-10 minutes make a profit without going to the printer and doing all this other stuff. So mm-hmm. you start to think, I am, after all, greedy. But in a nice way.
Yeah. Well, we wish you great success with the magazine. What's the contact info for ordering subscription?
Go right online to precognito.com.
Okay.
And you'll click on a button. We've got a whole new interface that's going up. We should have it ready in the next couple of days.
Great.
Which is the beginnings of like an interactive like web TV mm-hmm. Model. So that's going up in the next couple of days. But you can always get a link, to this subscribe to the magazine. Also, look, it's in just about every Barnes & Noble nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And when I get my orders for my newsstand, I don't always see where they go. So people, I get emails from California or wherever.
Yeah, where can I
buy
it?
This?
Yeah.
I only know Barnes & Noble, about 500 of their 600 stores have it.
Mm-hmm.
And then various newsstands, because we print thousands here and in Canada, and now Great Britain. And I expect to be also expanding Great Britain and Germany through mm-hmm. the end of the year.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You know, this has been a fantastic time being able to talk to you, and really appreciate you being on the show. The last thing I'd like to ask in closing is what you might suggest to other people, maybe just realizing they have such abilities or interested in fine-tuning their skills. What do you suggest?
Just practice. I mean, you can practice in a number of ways. First of all, work on your dream recall because it sharpens your memory, too. So even if, and keep a dream journal by your bed, and every morning write down what you dreamed.
Mm-hmm.
But then try to frame questions. If you have a problem, say, tonight I'm going to dream about the solution to this particular problem.
Yep.
And then wake up in the morning, write down what you get, first thing. And that actually sharpens your memory just in every way.
Oh, yeah?
But as a psychic, basically you need that memory. You need to grab images out of the air and not forget them. And that's mm-hmm. very challenging. So if you can do that and then start listening to your intuition in waking life,
mm-hmm.
grab those images out of the air, remember them, immediately think about them, process them. And, of course, the next step, going up to the Akashic Records, what does this mean? If there's something that strikes you, you're on your way.
Right. So you base a lot of it on dreams and dreaming.
Well, dreaming is a great place to start because of that memory development. I realized it was memory recall that was
plus
being developed.
Fact,
it will
help
you in every way in your life.
I guess with your dreams, you kind of are tapping into another energy. It's
mm-hmm.
more of the subconscious.
Yes, it is. It is kind of the
So you're kind of already there without knowing it almost when you're sleeping, I suppose.
Yep. It's various levels of consciousness
mm-hmm.
because you're actually hearing things around you, so you're getting clairaudient information. That's been shown scientifically.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your subconscious. You've got a super consciousness, which we'll call the collective or the Akashic Records.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got all of this kind of going on at the same time, but it's really all one.
I'll have to try some new techniques myself.
Yeah, give it a try. Yeah. Work on your dreams. Good place to start.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for your time. It was a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD. All shows copyright 2008 Big JD for the OMS Entertainment Group.